to be played just before New Year. I just want to wish that you rebellious bunch out there, I really love you all. WBAI is a happy New Year, and have a great year, and we'll talk next week.
You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM New York.
What will you remember about 1997?
God, what happened in 97?
1997.
I found this bizarre and fascinating from beginning to end because...
It came and it went.
We got to see these really terrific pictures of another planet so close and so crisp and I...
Can't wait to see the Marv Albert tape on the internet where you can get little bites of
1997. It came and it went.
Time just has flown by so quickly. It's 97.
Actually, for me, 1997 has been a trying year.
Cut the head in half using a bandsaw and scoop the brains out.
Tune in for a shortcut through 1997.
Blast the brain out with water or air.
New Year's Eve at 11.
Suck the brain out to a hole in the head.
A shortcut.
What about free speech?
Here on listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 FM.
What about free speech?
1997. New Year's Eve at 11.
What about free speech?
That's not the point. You're giving this place a bad name. I've got my position to think of.
Ben, you're listening to radio station WBAI. It's 8 o'clock Tuesday night. Time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. It couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bump for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood, but Billy Bump.
To everybody, this is the last edition of Off the Hook for this year. It's Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. Fiber optic over the other side of the room.
Over yonder.
Well, you're way over yonder. If you move a little closer to that microphone. Now.
Here I am.
There we are. So this is it. This is the last show for 1997.
The last show. And it's been a long year.
It has been a long year, but you know, somehow it seems like it's just gone like that, even though it seems to have taken forever to do it.
Hmm.
The thing that we were talking about last week. You heard last week's show, even though you were away on assignment.
Yeah, actually, I listened to it on real audio.
Yeah. How does that sound? It's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it's just like being at home listening.
Well, you did listen at home.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's just like being at home listening as if it was on the air at that particular moment.
Uh-huh. It's gotten a lot better over the years. I remember the first time I heard real audio, I thought, God, this is awful.
Yeah.
So either my taste has gone way down, or the quality's
gone I think up. I think it's gotten better.
Yeah. Well, technology tends to improve. So, yeah, you listen to the whole show, and we were talking about a scary bill with Bernie S.
A scary bill.
Yeah, and we have an update to that. President Bill Clinton has signed into law a controversial bill imposing criminal penalties on copyright violators who do not profit from their actions. Actually, it wasn't very controversial in Congress. It kind of sailed right through there, you know, like a cannonball. The No Electronic Theft Act, passed by Congress last month, was strongly backed by the software and entertainment industries, but opposed by virtually everybody else on the planet, namely science and academic groups. Under the new law, and you all better listen carefully to this, a person who willfully infringes on copyrighted material worth at least $1,000 could be subject to criminal prosecution even if he does not profit by it. Yes, this is how we can put Kevin Mitnick in jail forever. Under the previous law, copyright violators could not be charged with criminal misconduct unless they profited from the violation. Sort of the point, you know? Otherwise, where's the harm? You have to wonder about these things. Software and entertainment groups, including the Business Software Alliance, the Motion Picture Association, and the Association of American Publishers, said the change was essential to protect software, music recordings, and other creative products easily pirated over the internet. What do you think? This is what 1997 will be known for.
That's kind of surprising.
You think it's surprising? Surprising is not the word I would use. I think it's sad.
Well, yeah,
it's very
depressing. I'm confused. How do they plan on enforcing something like
that? That's just it. There is no way to enforce this except selectively.
Yeah.
Now, the next Bernie S. that comes around, where the Secret Service decides that, you know, he's pissed them off or something and they want to throw him in jail forever, well, they just simply go into his computer and say, hey, here's software. It sells for $1,000. Therefore, you're guilty of this.
Actually, sounds like a good catch-all.
Huh?
In the event that you're searched and seized for some reason and it turns out that they didn't really have anything on you, well, they can always fall back on this because everybody has some kind of copied software.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they got to test you for drugs. They got to, like, you know, test to see if you have a lie in your life. You know, they're always going to find something. There's nobody out there that is innocent.
Yeah.
So this is just another way to do this and to round up those people that they wish to round up. Pretty amazing. Here's a letter from a listener. Has an interesting story about Nextel. We haven't talked very much about Nextel, but they're that other company.
They're that other kind of phone service.
Other kind of phone service. Talk a lot about OmniPoint and about Sprint PCS and various other cellular-type services. But this is Nextel. This is kind of funny, actually. My father and grandfather own a small business where cell phones are essential. Last week, they received a call from a Nextel salesman, and they set up an appointment. Not 5 minutes later, another Nextel salesman called, so my father set up an appointment with him on the same day. Kind of funny.
Huh.
See what's coming here. The first Nextel salesman came in wearing a T-shirt and jeans and made an impressive demonstration of the Nextel services. He offered to take the old analog cell phones, about six of them, and give Nextel phones for $9 apiece. About an hour later, the second salesman came with an associate. This salesman was dressed in a suit and offered the Nextel phones for a higher price, but without taking the old analog phones. My father mentioned the other salesman's offer, and the second salesman said he would call his boss and see what he could do. My father left the office to go to a nearby gas station, and the second salesman was sitting in his brand new Porsche talking on his phone. The salesman came back to the office a half hour later and said that the best they could do was give the phones for free, but take the analogs and their two new Qualcomm CDMA phones they bought a few weeks beforehand. So my father instead got the phones from the first salesman for only $1 apiece and is keeping the Qualcomm phones. We haven't received the new phones yet, but when I get my hands on one, I'll be sure to tell you anything interesting I find. What kind of company is that that sends two salesmen?
I don't know,
but
it makes me think that Nextel is employing car salesmen to sell their phones.
Well, it sounds like they're employing independent contractors that go out there and just, you know, sort of use their own spin on things. By the way, the Twin Cities has a GSM provider now, Aerial Communications. Now, it's been around for a while, but it was never mentioned in any of their commercials that they provide GSM service, and maybe they should.
Well, but no GSM company says GSM on their commercials. OmniPoint doesn't.
Why is that?
People don't know what GSM is and don't care.
Well, maybe because they don't never say that they have GSM, you know.
Well, does Sprint say CDMA in their commercials?
Of course they say it in their literature.
Well, OmniPoint says GSM in their literature.
Uh-huh.
TV commercials never go into that. The average couch potato doesn't understand or need to know what that stuff is.
I guess, yeah. Anyway, thanks to Code Freeze for sending that in. What else do we have here? Okay, this is kind of... You heard last week's show about... We were talking about the potential health effects of GSM phones.
Right,
what do you think of that?
Actually, I think it was rather one-sided. Uh-huh. If you do some more poking into the whole industry buzz of CDMA versus GSM, mm-hmm. because obviously they're both in singular combat for the stranglehold on the, you know, who's going to be the next best thing.
Yeah.
One wants to have more control than the other, when in reality I think we're just going to end up having a mix of the two anyway. But it's interesting because the CDMA people are always quick to point out all the things that they think are wrong with GSM. And it seems like they've been repeatedly putting the GSM companies on the defensive mm-hmm. in pointing out various things. And I'm not going to say that I like one more than the other. If I had a choice, I would say I wish there was a third protocol that had the bandwidth of CDMA and the security of GSM. But each one has its downside. Mm-hmm. But the only thing CDMA has ever been bragging about the whole entire time is that how much potential bandwidth they can save by doing their code division multiplexing.
I haven't heard much bragging about that.
Well, in the industry, that's all they brag about. Okay. It's like, okay, why is CDMA better than GSM? Oh, well, because we can fit a lot more conversations, in one, going over one cell, going over one frequency than GSM. Because, we used code division multiplexing.
Mm-hmm.
But,
kind of thing the average consumer would really care about a lot.
Yeah, but in reality, majority of the CDMA equipment that's being used in the field doesn't actually handle the kinds of theoretical what would you refer to it as? A number of subscribers simultaneously using the network.
Right, the maximum capability.
Yeah, I mean, none of them are even approaching that kind of limit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the argument is really irrelevant. It's like saying, okay, let's say just as an example, we use a 32-bit number. Like, let's just say for sake of argument,
mm-hmm.
every conversation has a 32-bit number assigned to it. So, obviously, if you do the math and you think, well, gee, we could have 4 billion conversations going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of silly because that couldn't actually happen.
Although I was using Sprint PCS a couple days ago and I got a network busy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
see,
I don't know.
These things can happen. It's a simple matter of the economics of the company. How much hardware they're going to deploy in the field.
Well, anyway,
what they think the demand is.
The point was, this person was saying that GSM phones send out some sort of a pulse that has been shown to be hazardous to your health.
Right.
And CDMA phones do not. Now, that could just be one-sided person saying CDMA is better than GSM, but I think health studies need to be drawn up so that we know these things.
I completely agree. I think that there need to be far more health studies, but I don't know if this is true of the CDMA manuals,
mm-hmm.
but the GSM, at least Ericsson's GSM phone manuals, at the first couple of pages, they say that you should not use the phone for prolonged periods of time.
Well, how do they define prolonged periods
of time?
Well,
they don't particularly say.
Uh-huh.
The other thing that they say that gives you a little hint is that if any of the rubber ever breaks off the antenna,
uh-huh.
that you should not touch the metal underneath or else you could get burned.
Uh-huh.
So, like
real burn, radiation burns, what kind of burns?
Burn,
okay.
Like burn.
Uh-huh.
Like, your finger will get hot and hurt.
Okay.
Which, essentially
use
is going
to
happen.
Use your phone to light a fire,
Yeah.
All right.
That's going to happen whether it's a CDMA phone or a GSM phone. The fact of the matter is that, we're dealing with communications in the microwave range of frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you're microwaving your finger if you touch a piece of exposed metal that's, actually got some power behind it.
So basically the rubber that's around that is what's protecting you from getting that directly beamed into your head.
Well, it keeps you from getting burned.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as it is getting beamed directly into your head, whether or not it's a threat is another story. But I mean, in all reality, the fluorescent lights in this room are getting beamed directly into our head. The point is that some governmental agency decided that the emissions were safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we still have fluorescent lights.
Interesting. Now you got somebody else to worry about. Well, okay, as if that's not enough to worry about, how about this? This comes out of Zurich, Switzerland, a couple days ago. Swiss police have secretly tracked the whereabouts of mobile phone users via a telephone company computer that records billions of movements going back more than half a year, according to a Sunday newspaper. The revelation in the Sonntag Zeitung newspaper triggered objections from politicians and the country's privacy ombudsman about high-tech snooping on citizens who like the convenience of a mobile phone. Officials from state telephone company Swisscom confirmed the practice, but insisted information about mobile customers was only handed out on court orders. Swisscom has stored data on the movements of more than a million mobile phone users. It can call up the location of all its mobile subscribers down to a few hundred meters and going back at least half a year. When it has to, it can exactly reconstruct down to the minute who met whom, where, and for how long. Some 3,000 base stations across the country track the location of mobile phones as soon as they are switched on, not just when customers are having conversations. Prosecutors call the records a wealth of information that help track criminals' movements. This is a very efficient investigation tool. Renato Walti, an investigating magistrate in Zurich who specializes in organized crime, was quoted as telling the paper. The paper said Swisscom and law enforcement officials were reluctant to discuss the records, which were supposed to be secret. But it quoted Tony Stallman, head of Swisscom's mobile phone division, as saying, "We released the movement profile of mobile telephone customers on a judge's order." Sonntag Zeitung, that's a newspaper, said there was no legal basis for storing such information. I am unaware of any law that would allow the preventative collection of data for investigative purposes. It quoted Odilo Gunturn, the federal ombudsman for protecting individuals' privacy, as saying, "Secretly collecting data is highly problematic." I mean, that's something to really be scared of.
Yeah.
When you turn these things on, your movements are being tracked.
Well, they can be, certainly.
Well, they are. I mean, whether or not they're...
In Switzerland, they are.
Whether or not they're saved someplace
right. And
looked at is a, you know, I guess it's a question of company policy and government policy and things like that.
Well, and also of switch technology that happens to be installed by that company.
Yeah.
But I've heard that in England, the display on your GSM phone, as you wander from cell site to cell site within a couple of blocks at a time, the display actually changes, and it tells you the exact location, roughly, of where you are, as opposed to the company name.
Really?
Yeah.
So it tells you where you're wandering off to?
Yeah, it tells you, like, you know, what the name of the cell site is, which is typically designated by its location, the street, the street corner. But, all the GSM phones I've seen in the United States, they simply say the name of the company. They haven't been that creative yet.
Yeah. I don't know. That scares me.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's wandering around with these things and, advertising where they are at all times.
Yeah.
Something to think about. But if you turn them off, they stop doing that.
Yep.
Okay. What do you have there?
What do we have here? We have... Here's someone from... Where's this guy from? He's from... He doesn't say where he's from. He says he's from deathsdoor.com.
Okay.
Well,
that's a good, machine. We don't know where...
As good a place as any.
It could be anywhere, yes.
He says he wishes that us guys would have more support because we are the ones who make the net. Well, I guess it's a nice thing to say.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Depending and he wishes that someone would lease us a T3. Well, that would be nice.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Well, he goes on to say that he has a cable modem.
Uh-huh.
Actually, he has cable modem service from Time Warner in Maine, and that he's had it for the past 4 or 5 months.
You know, that's a clue as to where this guy might be.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah, I think we might have hit upon something there. It's hard to get service from Time Warner of Maine if you're not in Maine.
Well, he could be on vacation.
Okay.
He says he's very impressed with the service and speed. He doesn't say exactly how fast it is. He says that, unfortunately, their software is extremely poorly written and clunky, and makes the whole process, sounds like it makes the whole process rather tedious.
Yeah, now that he said something about having to run a certain program?
Yeah, he says he has to run some kind of login program to stay connected to their service. And he says that it's extremely clunky, takes up a lot of memory. And blah, blah, blah. And
now, we also got a letter from somebody agreeing with your position on UUNET's ADSL service.
Yeah, somebody who simply went to UUNET's website and saw that IDSL is an ISDN service.
Yeah.
This is someone calling themselves Philos.
Uh-huh. All right. And this ADSL service, which we read your letter last week.
Yeah.
Basically just not really what ADSL is going to be all about when it does come here.
Right.
Okay. So you've been spared for a little while longer.
I've been spared from eating a hat.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see. It's one thing that 1998 may bring us. I don't know. It'd be kind of cool. And tonight's Off the Hook, you said, this is a letter I'm reading here, you said Haggis. I'm sorry. You said Haggis was probably referring to NASA as the geeks in snowsuits. If you've seen the TV ads Intel's been putting out, they offer another alternative.
Yeah, you know,
I don't watch much TV, so I don't know.
It's the guys in the dust-free suits.
Okay.
They made them in different fashion colors, and they're dancing around like idiots.
Oh, and those are the geeks in snowsuits?
Yeah, well, they look like snowsuits.
Okay. For the listener who complained he can't use MetroCard to transfer when the balance is $0.00, I've transferred from subway to bus with no problem after using all the money on my card. In fact, I have a distinct awareness when I've used all up the balance that my MetroCard is not worthless until 2 hours later. So, a bunch of people have said that, in fact.
That there's this little latency.
That there's no problem. Someone had written in saying that if they use their MetroCard and it's the last amount on it,
right,
they can't transfer afterwards.
Right.
And a bunch of people have said that that's wrong. So, I don't know. This person has bad luck or bad memory or I don't know. But we had a lot of people tested and no one's been able to duplicate that. By the way, some person sent us some websites there for us to further research a particular subject. And if you'll notice there, it's spelled a little bit differently.
Haggis links. Yeah,
yeah.
This is...
Now, Haggis there is spelled with two G's.
Oh, that's actually, it looks like it's recipes.
Yeah.
On how to actually prepare haggis.
So you can keep that, because I know you're interested in the subject.
Yeah, actually.
I don't ever want to speak about it again.
Should we give out one of these?
Go ahead. Give them all out. This
all right. I'll give out some of the ones that look easier to remember.
Okay.
We have sunsite.auc.dk, that would be in Denmark, /recipes/English/ the letter O, 007/0121.html. And then we have another one that's a bit easier to remember. www.inforamp.net/tildejpeters/recipes/haggis with a capital H and two G's dot html. And no doubt they will have all kinds of info about how to chop up the guts of a sheep and boil it to your heart's content.
Yeah, and probably very little information on hacking websites.
Yeah.
So, I think right away that tells us that the haggis of the website hacking people is different than the haggis of the sheep gut people because it's spelled differently.
Well, there's two G's versus one.
Yeah. And plus the hackers against geeks and snowsuits thing, that's sort of what it stands for. Okay, so enough about that. That's probably the major news event in 1997 is all the web hacking that went on. So who knows what 1998 is going to lead to. One more letter here, and then we'll take some phone calls. 212-279-3400. I guess if you're outside the country, do we have real audio tonight?
Yeah.
No?
We have real audio.
Hang on, Porkchop's here. Go to the red microphone there.
Red microphone.
Usually you're coordinating this, but you're here tonight, so
yes,
someone else is coordinating it.
This is the one week I could get here.
Uh-huh.
Real audio is up and running today. However, we probably will not have live statistics.
Okay. All right.
We're working on it. Still working.
Well, we'll have live people calling us, and if you're outside the country, we got a call from Singapore last week. Real call from Singapore. So, obviously, you'd have to use country code 1, but I'm sure if you're outside the country, you'd know that. All right. 212-279-3400. I just listened to the December 16th Off the Hook broadcast, and I think I know what the deal is with Emmanuel's PCS phone. He says he's seeing drastically reduced standby times from his batteries. The key to this is that he says he's out of range most of the time. PCS phones employ something known as discontinuous receive, a.k.a. DRX. This means that the phone does not listen for incoming calls 100% of the time. Instead, it syncs with the nearest base station and only turns on its receiver during those time slices when the base station would try to notify the phone of an incoming call. The result is that most of the time, the phone's receiver is not on. Does that make sense, Fiber?
It does make sense, yeah, but it doesn't make sense why... I don't know,
Well, as you might imagine, this can reduce the phone's power requirements drastically. Conversely, if the phone is not in DRX mode and the receiver is running all the time, the phone will be chewing up more power, and the battery life will go down the toilet. Not knowing enough about the low-level protocols involved, not to mention how Samsung has designed this phone, I'd have to take an educated guess and say that Emmanuel's phone is running the receiver all the time since it is out of range. A conclusive proof of this theory would be to leave the phone on standby while in range and see if the battery life improves. It's also possible the phone is configured to not use DRX, but I doubt that. And that's Ed from Red Hat Software who sent us that. And I think he's absolutely right. I think that's what has happened because I did just that. I left the phone in two different places.
Yeah.
And apart from all the people who tried calling while it was in range, it seemed to last a lot longer.
Well, you know? It seemed... I'm not saying that that's not the reason why the battery's been wasting so quickly, but last week Bernie S. said something that made a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the difference in power that the phone can switch? I don't know if it's two or three different power output modes,
mm-hmm.
Depending on how far it is from a particular cell site. But I could see that if you were practically out of range, but the phone could still reach a cell site that was quite a ways away in its maximum power setting that it automatically switches to, I could see it running out the batteries a lot quicker. And it's possible that the tricky Samsung people
mm-hmm.
Gave the time that you should expect the battery to last given the consideration that you're going to be near a cell site relatively all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think it has a lot to do with power output as well, which I think is directly related to how far you are from a cell.
Yeah, well, I mean, the way it seems to be working is in a certain location, it just drains really fast.
Yeah.
Where there's no service. So I turn it off when I'm there.
Yeah.
And it seems to solve everybody's problems.
I don't have that problem with GSM.
Well, that's because you're always in range.
No, not necessarily.
Uh-huh.
I've brought my phone places, you know, out of state just to see if they're... Yeah. There was coverage.
Well, the weird thing about when I'm out of signal, I'm not really out of signal. I'm getting a signal, but it's not a real signal. I can't do anything with it. It's a signal that sort of bounces in. You can't make any phone calls on it. You can't receive any phone calls on it. So I don't know what it's trying to do with this signal. It might think it has a signal, but it doesn't really. It might be an echo of some sort.
Do you ever see where you have no signal at all?
It goes in and out. It says no signal, signal. You don't even have to move the phone. It just kind of comes in and waves.
Yeah.
And I actually spoke to Sprint PCS about this, and they said that's scheduled to be fixed in second quarter 98. So that's...
What's scheduled to be fixed?
Whatever the problem is. They're going to figure it out first quarter 98 and fix it second quarter, because that's what they say.
And they're going to be providing an SMS service in the process.
Right? They keep saying that. They keep saying that, and I have not yet seen it, so I don't know what's going on with that. But that's the latest as far as that goes. Anything else going on in your world?
Before
we go to the phones.
Recently... With mobile phones?
With anything, really.
Well, somebody else sent this mail. I don't know if you caught it. They sent it shortly before I left.
Uh-huh.
They were saying something about that they had talked to some Sprint people. They went to a Sprint PCS store.
Uh-huh.
They spared themselves having to go to Radio Shack.
Let me tell you, going to Sprint PCS stores is not that big a bargain either.
No, well, this person said that while it was better than Radio Shack, they just wished that the Sprint PCS people were better trained.
It takes like 2 hours to go through the whole process.
Yeah.
They go through your entire life story. Got into a fight in sixth grade, let's hear about it, you know? It's like, these people, they want to know everything. They want your credit report, they want to know how old you are, where you've been, what you're going to do. You know, leave me alone, I just want to use a phone.
Yeah.
These people are crazy.
Well, they apparently this person prodded the Sprint PCS people with various different questions about when they're going to have SMS service available and if they were ever going to have any kind of SIM type card like GSM has.
Uh-huh.
And they said that, oh yeah, and we'll blah blah blah, we're looking into this so that you could use it for buying stuff, which I think is a load of horse cocky.
Yeah,
because there's absolutely nothing in the CDMA protocol that has anything to do with a SIM card or any kind of authentication.
No, the CDMA does not have that.
No, the serial number of the phone is in the phone. There's uh-huh. no SIM card.
Uh-huh.
It would not be CDMA anymore if they added a SIM card.
Yeah. Interesting. By the way, I don't know if I mentioned to you the challenge that we issued last week as far as trying to figure out what that code is that Sprint PCS phones have, especially the Samsung phones.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's based on the phone number that you get when you get the phone, which is pretty much seven zeros or six zeros and four numbers.
Yeah.
And you get some sort of special code that you use to unlock the phone, program in some other things. And then, of course, once you enter your real phone number, the code changes. it might just be a simple algorithm. If we get a couple more combinations of phone numbers and codes, we might be able to figure it out.
So sounds like it is.
Yeah, hopefully people will figure that out. I've got some information as far as some hex numbers that are on the back of the phones. It might be of use.
We'll yeah.
play with that a little later.
Yeah, if anybody has a Samsung phone and they haven't yet returned it, and they know what the codes were if they activated their... You would have had to have activated your phone over the phone, right?
Well, yeah. Not yeah. over that phone, but yeah.
Over
a real phone.
Over a regular phone. Yeah. Not in the store.
No.
Okay.
No, if you do it in the store, they do it for you.
Right.
You never see anything.
Yeah.
So
if anybody did that, email us the code.
Always activate your own, because that way you can learn how it's done.
Yeah.
And you can learn about all the secret little menus and things like that. Okay, let's take some phone calls. 212-279-3400 is our phone number. Pick a number from 1 to, let's say, 6.
How about 6?
That's a radical approach. Okay, let's try that. Good evening. You're on the air. Yeah, speak up, please. No, this isn't working out. Oh, wait, I didn't press the right button. This is my fault.
Hello.
There we go.
Sorry.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
By the way, Bell Atlantic have announced they're starting to look into splitting of area code 516.
Uh-oh.
So
the area code that would never split now is finally going to split. Do you know where they're going to split it? Nassau Suffolk?
No indication, whatever. It was just there'll be a conference in Baltimore for whatever reason.
And Baltimore, huh?
Baltimore. And I guess because I had been on the list for the split in the New York City ones, I got this thing in the mail from them recently telling about that.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, 2 points, if I may. Number one, let's see. Oh, yes. On September 9th, a woman called in from Westchester, you may remember. She asked about, and I can answer the question for her, but I don't really recommend this particular thing. It's probably a bad deal. She asked, is there a thing where you can have a cell phone that is only for calling 911, that aspect?
Right.
Okay, well, there is this company. Ever seen ads from a place called Haverhill's in San Francisco? All their ads are for one product, and they always seem to offer two for a much reduced price. And you wonder if a lot of it isn't junk and so forth. Well, this place is in Midlothian outside of Richmond. It's called Comrad, C-O-M, like Mary, T-R-A-D, Industries. Even though they only deal with end users, they call themselves Industries for whatever reason. Okay, their number's listed with the toll-free information operator. However, after looking at the whole ad, which you see in lots of popular publications, there is no dialing pad on it. There's a button for 911. There's a button to reach the operator, and for $1.45 to call anyone else on if it's for an emergency basis, okay, that's fits in with that, right?
Right.
The monthly thing is only about $9.95, I think, maybe $14.95. However, there's some original sign-up charge that's maybe $100, and then by the time you go through the whole thing, I thought, why not? She'd probably be better off getting one of the more usual deals, having her pad, and so forth. By the way, did you see the news magazine thing a few weeks ago? I forget which of the three major commercial networks it was on, telling how all the cell phone companies seem to make it so that you cannot reach 911 when... It was quite an astonishing and alarming thing.
Well, you can't reach 911 when?
Let me see. Okay, with cell phones, it was in half the areas. Each one has it so that you cannot reach 911 from their phone when you're in some areas. And I said myself after I watched the whole thing, I said, I'm one of those people who has always considered the first thing, main thing I would want it for would be 911. I said, it looks like I'll have to get a transcript of that program, go over very carefully. You'd have to have two different cell phones from two different suppliers to be able to get 911 any place across the country.
Well, I think federal regulations are kind of moving away from that kind of thing.
You would hope. But yeah. Anyway, if I may move on to my second point, on September 30th, a guy called in, and I guess you must get very tired with the subject. If he wanted to call back and enlighten us again, I'd be more than delighted to hear what he would have to say. It was about the split back in 1984 from 212 and 718, and how you were discussing, I don't know, 646 is lousy and 212 is good, people are saying, and all that. So the guy's remark was at the end, before he hung up, he said, I thought we really got shafted in the other boroughs with the 718 back in 1984. And I'm thinking, what kind of crazy thing is he talking about here? We're now going, we're talking about the fourth and fifth area codes for New York City, right?
Right.
Was he suggesting that 212 could have been left in place to cover the entire five boroughs? Everybody would, instead of having multiple lines all to yourself, we'd all have to have party lines.
Like I said before, it could have been done if we had gone the four-digit area codes. Would have worked perfectly.
But, oh, I got to ask you this. When you say four-digit area codes, you mean the second and third digits would both still be either O or 1?
I mean the area code would be 2121, 2122, 2123, etc.
I see what you're saying.
Everybody would still have 212.
Uh-huh, right.
And I think, you hear these new area codes. I know you're very knowledgeable about area codes, but you can't tell me when you hear 947, you know immediately where it is. Like, you know, you would know where 914
was. With the number of them that there are now, you really have to have a numerical list if you want to be able to do that, right? Have it right in hand.
Yeah, and I think they're going to come to mean less and less geographically in the future. You know, and
with the overlays, right,
yeah,
and so forth.
The whole point of area codes will be lost. And it's going to be a shame because some of them are, 213 is California, 312 is Chicago, 212 is New York. It was easy.
Right.
And it was logical. So I think we missed a good opportunity there.
Right.
All right, thanks for the call.
Right on. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Let's go to another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air. Oh, no, you're not.
I think I want to add something really quick. Is that I don't know.
I got
about
a caller online.
Oh, hello.
Okay. Can you hold on 1 second, caller?
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, just in relation to 911 and that whole scam to subscribe to a mobile phone to call 911.
Right.
I don't know about CDMA phones, but on GSM phones, you can call 911 on an unactivated phone.
That's true. But, I should caution you about that because we mentioned this once before. At least on OmniPoint, they cut you off after a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Because,
well, they're supposed to have fixed that.
Yeah. Well, they said they were supposed to have fixed that, and then somebody else did it again.
Yeah.
The same thing happened.
Yeah.
So they're cutting off, I guess, because they think it's not really connecting or something.
Yeah, I think that they're thinking the call never went through.
Because they're saying, we're not getting any money off this. What's good? Yeah, what gives? And they disconnect you.
It's more a network problem.
Yeah. Okay, good evening. You're on the air.
Ellie, this is the call from Nebraska.
Nebraska, you actually listening to us now?
No, I still haven't gotten my new 336 to work yet because I bought a cheap computer and it's conflicting with everything, so...
I see. Oh, that was a mistake then, wasn't it?
Yes, but I bought your Autumn issues it today.
Oh, really? You found it in a store?
Found it at Barnes & Noble.
Well, that's good to know.
Very good to know.
Yeah. So, what else is going on out there in Nebraska?
Someone has finally started competing with US West, the home telephone market.
Really?
Yeah, Cox Communications, who used to do just cable and has expanded into cable modems and stuff,
right,
is now doing digital phone lines in some areas of Omaha.
Uh-huh.
And so they said that by next year, most of it should be out. I called, though, and the people there aren't very informed, so they don't know if they're getting ADSL or ISDN on any of them or not. And since they have a lucrative cable modem business, I'm not exactly thinking they're worried.
True.
Yeah, let's see here. Sprint's spending $45 million to build some big thing out in western Nebraska with digital phone lines.
Uh-huh.
Which means all the farmers can have ISDN now.
Well, that'll be a boon to them, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's not going to be an attempt at a January 2600 meeting here because no one showed up last time, so...
Did I say it again?
There won't be... It'll probably not be a January Omaha 2600 meeting.
You're going to give up just like that? Because nobody showed up?
2 times.
The first New York City meetings, we only had about 5 people.
Yeah.
And it's like out of hand now. We get, dozens.
Well, and two of them were me and you.
Really? It was only the two of us?
I was at a couple of the early meetings. There were only about half a dozen people there.
Yeah, there weren't very many. So, I mean, the thing is, you have to get publicity out there. You got to get word out to the local community. And then once you get something steady going, people will show up.
Yeah, I've tried.
We've heard of Omaha, Nebraska. It's not like it's some place that doesn't have any people in it.
They got some stakes there.
Yeah. So I wouldn't give up.
Yeah, well, I'm going to take a month off so I can think of a gimmick. Gimmicks are always good.
I guess.
Yeah, well, the bulletin board here, the scene for bulletin boards in Omaha is pretty much when my friend comes home from college in Lincoln,
uh-huh.
and he plays with his Minitel.
Yeah.
That's about the only time the bulletin boards get called.
Interesting. Well, I say keep the faith out there and, don't worry about being out in Omaha so much. There's people out there.
Yeah, currently no one that I was able to get through to is doing ADSL here yet.
Uh-huh.
Let's think, what else is going on? I have a stack of newspaper articles that got thrown away, so...
Okay.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad. Still no GSM out here. The biggest thing we have is Sprint PCS, and they charge a fortune, so...
Sprint PCS charges a fortune out there.
I don't know, but I know that there's not enough people here because they're advertising isn't even nearly competitive with the analog people.
Uh-huh.
Like, virtually everything here is analog cellular. PCS has no market.
Well, they don't have very many transmitters out there, I would imagine.
I don't know. They have, I don't know, because US West major thing is here, and so they're probably also trying to do the main dominant cellular.
Uh-huh.
Because there's them, there's one other company that does cellular, and then there's Sprint PCS, which does all their advertising out through Nebraska Furniture Box.
Well, I would imagine they have similar prices to what they have here in New York and other parts of the country.
I don't know. I have an analog phone. I use it about 10 minutes a month.
Uh-huh. Well, so, then, you know, you don't really have to worry that much.
Nope.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll keep you updated as to things changing around here, and hopefully you'll do the same.
Yeah.
All right, good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
Take care. Nebraska, huh? All right, 212-279-3400. Country code 1 if you're outside the United States, if we're on Real Audio tonight, which I assume we are. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, speak up. Where are you calling from? Yes, you.
Mike sucks. Bye.
Excuse me? Okay. I have no idea. If you're going to wait that long to say something that supposedly is shocking, say it in a clear voice so we understand what you're talking about. Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing tonight?
Okay. Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm out here in New Jersey.
New Jersey?
Yeah, not quite as far as you called last year, but
well,
last week. But
that's okay. It's okay. New Jersey is far enough.
Just a couple questions for you, but one comment first. You let your two calls ago was talking about with 911 calls from cell phones.
Uh-huh.
And it had something to do with being outside your service provider's area, and that they didn't want to put the call through because they're not making any money off it.
Yeah,
it was only like 2020 or something.
But I, from what I understand, there's federal laws in place, or legislation at least, to make sure that they put those calls through no matter what.
Yes, they're cracking down on that, of course.
Right.
I like your idea about the area codes being 212-1, 212-2, except it's too simple, and that's probably why they didn't go with it.
Yeah,
it's too obvious.
I mean, you would have had to have reprogrammed every switch, obviously, but aren't we going to have to do that anyway, you know?
Eventually, yes.
Question about
digital phone service. You're talking about Sprint and a few other ones. Do you know anything about Bell Atlantic's digital? Have you heard any good or bad?
Barbara, do you know anything about them?
What, Bell Atlantic's what kind of service?
Their digital service, their digital network.
You're talking about Bell Atlantic's digital cellular?
Yeah.
It's digital cellular. It's, there's not really, it's not PCS. It doesn't have any of the PCS features that Sprint or any of the GSM companies have, like OmniPoint.
They're not going around calling it PCS? I know AT&T is.
AT&T is, but it's not, yeah. they're making believe it's PCS,
right,
but it's really just digital cellular, TDMA.
Is Bell Atlantic's digital service, is that secure?
Not by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay.
It's basically, well, there's actually two modes of digital cellular. There's digital cellular where it's doing pseudo-digital over analog, where you can actually pull the authentication information, the phone's serial number and so on, can actually be pulled off the air, and it's simply your conversation, which is being carried digitally.
Is that like these dual-mode phones, Nokias? You know, you have to buy a dual mode phone if you want to have digital service, but then if you go out of range, you can still kick into analog.
Yeah, all the older phones. It's pretty rare for you to actually find an analog only phone anymore, unless it was thrown into the package for free. But I mean, nowadays even the analog and digital hybrid phones are being thrown into these little package deals because the service is so cheap to provide. But yeah, those are basically amps, which is the older analog cellular, and d-amps, which is digital amps, or TDMA, which is the sort of newer version of analog cellular, which is really just a revamping of it. But it's, if you're worried about security, you'd be a lot better off using CDMA or GSM.
So the bottom line with the Bell Atlantic digital is not really, it's a quasi-digital. It's not like the Sprint or the other one.
No, not by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay. All right, and I just had one other comment. I'm really pissed off about this whole FCC 800 number thing.
Yeah.
I provide 800 number service to my customers. My salesmen are on the road. They call me from pay phones. So they have the nerve to charge back 30 cents per call is what I'm notified. I even have an 800 number ringing to my house for about 2 years now.
Uh-huh.
So what they do is now they're being able to do this. Now, do we have any right to block people from calling from 800 numbers so we don't get scammed?
Calling from payphones.
Calling from payphones.
Yeah, you certainly do if they're going to charge you. Obviously, there's a database that they're accessing to be able to charge you for this, and you should have the same access to that database so that you can block calls from there if necessary.
Would you know how to go about that? Nobody's offered that yet.
Yeah, the thing is, the company that you get the 800 numbers from should be able to do this. And if not, I would cancel service with them and go with somebody who can.
Now, see, somebody I know was just out in Vegas, and they called my 800 number, but Vegas gets around it. You have to put 35 cents in the phone to call an 800 number.
Really?
So they don't have that whole...
So they charge you now to call an 800 number. That's what this has gotten us.
That's what they were told just last week. They were in Vegas calling me here. And,
you see, this is an example of something that is just sheer greed, you know? You have these people saying, oh, they're using our phone, therefore we should be entitled to some money for that. And it's that logic that makes them turn off the phone for incoming calls, that makes them charge you for 800 numbers. It's almost insane.
I can almost understand that a lot of payphones are privately owned now, and if somebody's on a payphone talking for 2 hours to an 800 number, that guy's not generating any income.
Yeah, but he's generating income somewhere along the line, and it does tend to even out.
And God forbid, don't use a credit card, because they'll charge you just $8 to connect you from a payphone. But what happens is, about a year ago, they all started this, have an 800 number ring to your house so your kids can call you. Right. So they got everybody sold on having an 800 number ring to the house, and then they turn around with this FCC ruling.
And what's this going to do? It's going to make people use payphones less. It's going to make people use 800 numbers less. That's not good for you know, the telecommunication industry, is it? I mean, it doesn't take much to figure this out.
But who's got the ear of the FCC?
Yeah, apparently the people who are the greediest.
So if
we keep complaining about this and, you know, talking to the right people, they just might turn around and do something about it, because it's insane.
If you have any ideas, or any of your listeners know of the right people to write, let's bombard them, or let's call them, or let's tie up their lines, or let's do something.
Well, start with the Federal Communications Commission. They're the boneheads that came up with this in the first place.
Yeah.
And, you know, go to the various companies.
I'm just afraid that they're appeasing some higher or richer or more wealthy authority.
Yeah, but you see, in the end, it's you know, it's people like us that, you know, should have the final say. I think
we lose right now, but let's do something about it. And if you guys have any ideas, I'm welcome them, and keep doing what you're doing. I love your show.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thanks. Have a good New Year now.
Take care.
Bye.
I have this uneasy feeling we're not doing real audio. What do you think, Port John? Haven't gotten a single call from anybody in other parts of the world.
Everybody who's local, hang up.
No, I don't want them to do that. But if there are people out there, we just sort of need to know, because we're not. Am I gonna get email on my phone? No? Okay. So I don't have the usual means at my disposal, so we'll just have to keep trying, see if anybody out there is listening on real audio. Good evening. You're on the air. Where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm all the way from Manhattan.
Manhattan. Okay.
Sorry.
It's all right. No problem.
But actually, it's very hard to get through to test the popularity of your program.
Yeah, yeah.
About the fourth time I tried.
The limitations of our phone lines.
Right. Very quickly, before I get to my one or two questions, time permitting, aren't new listings with new area codes simply to be allocated to... Well, it's new listings and faxes and pagers rather than divided geographically.
I think what they decided to do with 646 is simply give them to any new phone numbers, period. So if you get a second line in your house, that will be 646, and your first one will be 212.
Uh-huh.
So you have two different area codes in the same house.
Right. I think that's already recurring. That seems a little more equitable than having people to change their area codes. So.
Yeah, that's always a pain.
Right. Now, you were talking earlier about the possible hazards, you know, of holding a phone too close. You can get fried.
Yeah.
Have you addressed at all in the past any of the 3,000 or so PCS transmitters that have been strung up around Manhattan? Even though, it drops off exponentially, you know, as you walk away from it,
mm-hmm.
The chronic long-term effects have not been evaluated directly with that, and maybe a hot dog vendor or a newspaper guy might get fried over a long period of time.
If something was put on top of his stand, perhaps, I don't think that people in general walking through the streets are in any kind of danger at all, but I would be concerned if, say, I lived in an apartment building that suddenly had a PCS antenna strapped to the wall next to the room I lived in. I mean, we live in a city where, you know, 50,000 watt transmitters, you know, on buildings.
That's right.
I mean, even radio stations like this one. So these are fairly low power, but as you say, they are, you know, they're there, they don't move around, and there's a lot more of them. So
it's
something to consider, something to definitely study.
Right. I think there have been health impacts filed by one of the science policy groups, and even there's a Brooklyn coalition even trying to stop another 3,000 mm-hmm. from going up. I have one more, if you could squeeze it in. There's a shortwave station I pick up on various frequencies out of Costa Rica, and they carry a lot of the Pacifica. feeds.
Do they?
Yeah.
Costa Rica, Carrie Specifica.
Right. RFPI, it's called. It's English language, Radio for Peace International. They carry Pacifica News, the FAIR program, Nations program, and even America's Watch. And they were complaining because they have to download the Pacifica News, for instance, like a half-hour feed. It takes them like 6 hours because of the internal countries' low transmission rate or baud rate within Costa Rica, and we're trying to figure out a way to get around that. I don't know, short of like a cellular relay from some other country, you know, like by a net provider. I mean, maybe you could work on this.
Considering this is the first time I even heard of the station, yeah, I think that definitely should be a better solution for that. Mm-hmm. They're getting from the internet right now?
Yes, they are, the Pacifica thing, right, and it takes them 6 hours, again, roughly, for like one, half hour, and they have their own equipment, which is up to snuff, but the country's transmission rate is so slow. That's what they were throwing out there, if anybody had any ideas.
I'm sure we can figure something out.
Okay,
sure,
well, for thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, sir. Thanks for calling.
Sure.
That's interesting to know there's a station out there broadcasting things like this. Yeah, it's about time, too. You know, I see all these stations, right? I see all the stations on DSS and cable and all that crap, you know, the home and garden TV and, you know, all these little, you know, home shopping things that seem to be for the same audience. Where is something like Pacifica Radio on TV, you know? Would it be so upsetting to have people with alternative ideas talking about various things?
Well, what are all those private channels you're not allowed to watch?
I don't know. They scare me. You know, there's, when you turn around on DSS, occasionally you come across a channel that says, for private use only. I'm like, oh, sorry, I keep moving on. You know, and I don't know if anybody has decoders to figure out what these people are doing on those channels. I'd sure like to know. But, yeah, you know, I'd like to see some diversity, see some other points of view, not always the same, you know, American type of viewpoint that we see all the time. This is, I'm not going to take that phone call now because I'm busy doing a radio show. Yes, 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air.
Finally? How you doing?
I'm okay.
This is Steve. I'm in Queens.
You're in Queens. You know, the phone just started ringing because we were just on this line. I hit the same line a second time.
Really? Well,
yeah.
Dialed your regular number and finally got through.
Okay. Well, what's on your mind?
A couple of things.
Yeah.
About 2 months ago when I dialed local numbers,
yeah,
after the fourth ring, I would get a message. If you would like, Bell Atlantic could ring the number for up to an hour if you press 1.
After 4 rings?
4 or 5 rings.
That's kind of crazy.
I don't get that message anymore.
Well, maybe enough people complain about it because 4 rings is not enough.
No, then if you wouldn't press nothing, you could ring the phone, whatever, 10, 20 rings.
Uh-huh.
Now, someone told me they got that call, that they tape your voice. Are you familiar with this service?
I've never used it myself, but I've heard about it.
You type your message, hello, this is Steve, please call me back. And they'll, up until 2-3 hours later, someone got this call.
Uh-huh.
You never heard of this, right?
No, well, it's a way to really annoy people. I know
yes,
that.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, so did you ever have a company called Tel3?
Tel3?
Yes.
No?
Phone card company?
Okay, well, that's certainly possible. There's a lot of them around.
Yeah.
What about them?
No, I've never heard about them. A guy gave me a card today.
Oh, well, there's all kinds of different companies out there, so don't be surprised by any of them you see.
January 1, this new FCC line charge goes into effect.
You know, I heard about that. Someone just handed me something before the show. They charge you now if you don't pick a long-distance company, right? You don't pick a long-distance company, you have to pay $1.50 a month.
What's that?
To the FCC, or because of the FCC, because I don't know what you're paying for. You're not paying for anything.
The
charge was for access to long-distance, and since you don't, you know, want a long-distance company, what are you paying for?
No,
it's just they just keep getting money for nothing.
No one says nothing. No one fights them.
Well, that's what we do, but I don't know how effective we are.
Also, no, there's a $5 charge per line if you have a second line in your house.
They increase that, too. Yeah, second line,
What's
they charge.
What's that all about?
I don't know. I just saw this a few minutes ago, so I'm kind of still trying to interpret it. It sounds like they just raised the access charge that they've always been charging.
I think there's a new chairman in the FCC, right? Appointed somebody?
It's quite possible. It's quite possible.
Stop writing these people letters and bombarding them with letters.
But by all means, you know, write letters and phone them and complain and ask for clarification and things like that.
Right. Especially with that, the phone the pay phone's 800.
Yeah, I mean, it's just getting ridiculous making phone calls these days. Right. You know, nothing is reasonable anymore.
No.
All right, thanks for calling.
Take care.
Let's see if we can get one more phone call in. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah. I'm calling to find out about, you know, do you hear anything about this on the internet, the computer chip that they make in Asia they're supposed to find out if the computers are supposed to be going down to, supposed to be going cheaper to like $666 or something like that from the original $2,500 that they originally go for now.
You're saying in the short term this is going
to happen? Yeah, supposed to be in the short term. That they had some kind of crash in Asia where the computer chip is made, that they're supposed to bring it. Yes.
Do you know about this, Fiber?
I haven't heard anything like that.
I know prices are going down a lot,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to introduce, you know, full systems that, you know, are really cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know anything specifically that...
Yeah, and the price is supposed to be, like, near $666.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you haven't heard anything about that?
Can't say we have, but we're going to look into it.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, take care.
Whatever.
I think we can fit one more in. Good evening, you're on the air. Speak up, please.
Oh, hi.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Good. Long Island.
Okay, what's on your mind?
I'm on the way. I just have a couple of basic questions. The first one is about a long-distance company that I got some mail from. Can I name them and ask your opinion
sure,
about
it? Sure, go
them?
Ahead.
Okay, it's Working Assets.
Okay, yeah, Working Assets is a company. They're based out of California. What they do is they take a percentage of your phone bill. Also, if you use their credit card, they take a percentage of that mm-hmm. and donate it towards certain, I don't want to use the word politically correct groups, but certain ideologically sound
right.
Thing, you know, conservation
okay.
and
yeah.
You know, educational things. I mean, it's all in their brochures, but they've been around for quite some time, and,
right.
and people seem happy with them.
Oh, they do.
I think they use Sprint, so you wind up paying the same amount as you would if you used Sprint.
Okay, okay. Do you know what the switchover rate is, if the local company charges a switchover rate?
You mean how much to change long-distance companies?
Yeah.
I think it's $5, but lots of times the company that you switch to will pick that up for you. I'm not sure if they will.
Okay, and can I ask another quick question?
Sure.
Thanks. Do you pretty much get what you pay for with cordless phones in terms of just, I want a real basic, you know, cordless phone. I just want...
You mean cordless or cellular?
Cordless.
Okay, so something for inside your house.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I would just get the $40 one unless it's like a piece of junk. I don't want anything fancy or anything.
Fiber is shaking his head vigorously.
It's a piece of junk.
Oh, okay.
The best cordless phones to get are the 900 megahertz phones.
Okay.
Which they do cost a little bit more. They're going to run you a couple of $100, but they're well worth it.
Okay.
I have a 900 megahertz phone, a two-line phone. And I've had it for a couple of years now, and it's a beautiful phone.
Right.
It's got a great range. I never have problems with static or interference.
Right.
I found that never to be the case with the older analog cordless phones, which tend to be rather horrible.
Okay.
And are extremely problematic with fraud. If you're concerned about that.
Oh, really?
It's very very easy thing for somebody to drive around your neighborhood with the same model phone as you and basically drive around and keep trying to pick up on a line and seeing if they get a dial tone.
Wow. Okay. Good to know.
Okay. Thanks for calling. We're out of time.
Okay. Thanks. Take care.
That will be, thank you. That'll be our last call for this year. In fact, we won't be back until next year, which I guess is next week as well. Hopefully 1998 we'll see a little bit more, I don't know, cluefulness as far as legislation goes. Maybe 1998 will be the year we get Kevin Mitnick out. 1997 has had some interesting things happening, but I think the negative kind of outweighs the positive. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's been a particularly nasty year.
Uh-huh. All right, well, the way we're going to get through this is to continue communicating, talking to the right people, and just remaining educated. And I want to thank our listeners for doing all of that. We'll see you again next week. This is Emmanuel Goldstein for Fiber Optic. Have a good night.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. It couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. For Billy Bond, for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood, but Billy Bond.
all WBAI supporters. In the spirit of providing an avenue for discourse, debate, and participation, you are cordially invited to attend a listeners' forum to take place on Monday, January 5th at 6:30 p.m. at PS 41, located on West 11th Street off of 6th Avenue. There will be special guest speakers and many of your favorite WBAI personalities. So tell a friend and come join us at the Listeners Forum on Monday, January 5th at 6:30 p.m. at PS 41 at West 11th Street off of 6th Avenue. For more information, please call 718-940-7170. That's 718-940-7170. See you there.